Welcome to the podcast. Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon to all of you listeners out there. This is episode 4 of the podcast, and
this is episode 4.
And since the two lovely ladies are still not here, it's still me,
Sloan, and Luvi. They're still on vacation. Sloan is in the Bahamas, while Luvi is in Madagascar, right?
So, again, this is Malone, and with me is Sloan's twin brother, who also goes by the name of Sloan. So, Sloan, what are we going to talk about today?
Hold on. Today, we're going to talk about the different food trends.
Okay.
So, to start, right now, what are the popular, food stuff in Perpetual, where you go to school?
That would be hamburgers, actually. Hamburgers and pancit canton.
What about the those novel things, like before it was Zagu?
Oh,
how
those
about
kinds.
Now?
None, actually.
None. How about tea, milk?
No.
Going
tea.
To tea shops.
Well, they do have those bottled teas like C2s and those.
Oh, that was actually a trend that started around 6 years ago, right?
Yeah,
7 years
it's
ago.
It's still popular there. They usually buy that drink with hamburgers or sandwiches. Sandwiches is really popular in Perpetual right now since it's easily made and it's easy to consume, especially if you only have a 10-minute break before classes, in between classes, and you need and you really need to eat something. So that's what most students do there.
What tea shops have you tried? Have you tried going to
tea shops?
Yeah, for example, I'm sure you've tried Serenity.
Yes, I did. But aside from Serenity, none actually. Tea shops aren't really
your thing.
No, not really. They're hard to come by. I mean, especially in our area.
But in SM, there's a lot of...
There are a lot of tea shops in SM, but the problem is, it's not really...
Wait. I'd just like to address, the really hard rain, the really noisy rain outside.
Yes.
I'm sure all of you listeners can
hear
them. Can hear. I just hope our voices are more audible
than the rain.
So what are you talking about?
Yeah, about that.
They're hard to come by.
Yeah, they're hard to come by. And if you do know a place, they're usually not cheap in a sense. You need to have that extra cash.
Yeah, they're usually in the same price range as Starbucks.
Yes, exactly. So,
what would you rather spend on something, on a Starbucks drink or on a milk tea drink?
For me it really depends on what I'm currently looking for. Sometimes I like tea, sometimes I like coffee. But the thing is, coffee for me is it helps me stay awake, unlike tea, if you know what I mean. Especially during those busy days when you need to stay up late, doing projects and stuff, work. I'm sure most of us would agree that it's coffee over tea. While tea For me, tea is more like
a social thing.
Social thing. Well, coffee is more of a everyday thing. You need it every day. If, I mean, you get my point.
Yeah, because back then, just like Zagu and Quickly.
Yes.
When Serenity first opened here in Aguirre, you know, you usually went there when with your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're really into milk tea. Yeah. You'd go there alone, but usually it's with friends.
Usually, it's
and
with friends.
I don't. I'm not really into. I mean, not a super fan of the taste. So, yes, most of the time, the reason I'm there in the milk tea shops is because friends invited me.
Your girlfriends invited you.
Yeah, my female friends.
Yeah. The one I've noticed is that, you know, it's the women who actually like tea.
Yeah? More than the guys.
More than the guys, so.
I think the guys go for Starbucks more, or Coffee
yeah,
Bean.
Yeah, coffee. Coffee's for me, at least. Okay?
You know, as annoying as the rain is right now, I miss, I miss this kind of rain.
Yeah, in fact, it's
been so hot these past few months.
Very hot, actually.
And this just, you know, it's just the sight and the sound of it is relieving for
even,
some reason.
Even the feeling it brings, I mean, it's making me sleepy right now. seriously, I mean, I do remember those days, you know, when I was still in grade school. When it rains like this, usually, you know, grade school doesn't have class, right?
Yeah, or you all of you know that at some point the teachers are going to announce that classes are suspended.
Classes are suspended. So what I usually do, if for example it says at the beginning that we have no class, I just like sleep through it. It's like, you know, it's really refreshing. It's really, I mean, the feeling is really accommodating for you to sleep. It makes your eyes really heavy. And before you know it, you know, you've been sleeping the whole day. And you still want to sleep some more. Because, you know, it's cold. It's very
old.
Comfortable. Right? I mean, you know, you snuggle in the blanket or something.
Or with your crush.
Yes, snuggle in the blanket with your crush. Then your parents find out that your crush is with you in your room.
Your parents find out.
And that's just bad. See? Now,
can you hear that?
Yes, I can hear.
That's slow.
But I don't hear the dogs.
I hope that the thunder doesn't get
any worse. Yeah.
Because it'll ruin our podcast.
Yes. So I hope it doesn't happen. So anyway.
Wait. So you're telling me that Serenity is the only place you've tried?
Yeah. I think I've tried that one shop in
Chat Time. Gongcha.
I think it was Chat Time.
Chat Time.
In ATC?
Yeah, in ATC. There's Chat Time in ATC.
It's like tea with those little balls.
I think all the tea shops offer an
balls option. You can opt for, you know, no balls on it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can put egg pudding or jelly.
Yes, exactly. Although I must say it's a new trend.
It's a what?
It's a new food trend today.
Yeah. How long do you think the tea trend will last?
Not sure. But if I were to guess, I'd say it would Okay. It would really depend on the consumers. On, you know, how does it taste to them? How good is it?
Because like Zagu came out when we were in grade school, right?
Yes.
And it still exists.
Yeah, and Zagu,
people still like buying Zagu.
And Zagu is like a taro, right?
The taro ube flavored.
Yeah.
Drink.
I'd say, if the milk tea business were to last, I'm not sure it would be like,
whoa,
okay,
whoa,
okay,
what was that?
It's, You saw that. There was like that really big light really near us.
I was too startled to look at the sky.
I saw it.
No, we have to finish this podcast. I'm not gonna cancel this podcast.
Whatever happens, even if we die from a lightning strike,
whatever happens,
we will finish this podcast about food on a rainy day.
Anyway, okay, so let's move on. Let's talk about the yogurt trend.
Okay,
which I think is on the brink of extinction.
I'm not sure about extinction. I'd say it's already dead.
No, because there's still Golden Spoon, there's still White Hat.
Yes, but business on those kinds of beverages has been declining. Because what I know is that it first started when they said, like, there was this commercial that goes that yogurt is healthy for you and can help you get slimmer.
Yeah. So, I didn't see that commercial.
Yeah, there was those kinds of commercials before. I mean, before the what do you call it? The Fit and Right thingy.
The Fit and Right drink.
Yeah, with the L-carnitine on it. Before that, there was the yogurt thing. And, you know, and since our society has evolved into health conscious people, so, you know, they opted for yogurt. And for me, I think yogurt is an acquired taste. Like, you know, if you like wine or you like beer, I mean, it's not something that you would
likes.
You would like at the first time you tried it.
It's kind of sour.
Sour. In fact, it's yogurt, if you guys don't know, is fermented milk.
Yeah.
And if you
with
know
organisms.
Yes, and if you know what fermented is, it means that it is expired milk. So technically you're drinking expired milk if you're drinking yogurt. So
well, you know, the thing that's happening to the yogurt, you know, the yogurt trend of it, you know, dying.
Mm-hmm.
That personally saddens me because I'm a fan of yogurt.
I know, you just gave me a yogurt drink.
Yeah, I just gave you a yogurt drink. And that wasn't intentional in any way. But you know, it's very hard to, you know, to come by a place that serves yogurt nowadays.
Yeah.
You have to either go to White Hat or Golden Spoon in ATC. There aren't any yogurt places anymore.
No
here
more.
In
BF. None. I mean, I think there are no yogurt shops in.
Even in SM.
In Las Piñas. It's only in ATC, actually.
Yeah. The last yogurt shop I went to in SM was the one in the ground. In the ground floor.
And it's gone.
What was that called? Tutti Frutti?
Tutti Frutti.
Yeah, and that was a few. And it's now closed, right?
It's not
been
there
closed
anymore.
For a few months now.
Yeah, so.
So it's really hard to if you're craving for yogurt.
You can always buy those, you know, those
yogurt cups.
You know, Dutch milk yogurt.
Oh yeah, but it's different than eating.
Yeah,
the ice cream version.
Yes, of course.
So what else? Let's talk about the.
Oh, one thing I have noticed is that there has been a increased demand for Korean desserts. No, Sloan, there isn't. Okay, my bad. Sloan ran under the table because there was like a flash of light. Then I was about to tell him that there wasn't gonna be any thunder. My bad.
I learned how thunder and lightning works or are related by reading Bernstein Bears. Did you read that?
Lightning and thunder are lovers. They are.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the lightning is the girl and the thunder is the guy. The thunder is always running after the lightning. But it's just that the lightning is just way too fast.
But were you able to read that? The Bernstein Bear book? About lightning and thunder.
No, is that a children's book?
Yeah, the bears, the bear family. It says in that book that after when you spot the lightning,
yeah.
Okay, our dog's here.
Okay. Hey, Anton, come here. Come here, boy. See?
A dog is hiding under the table. Because of the thunder.
See, even dogs doesn't like thunder. Anyway,
so it says there that after you spot the lightning, you have to start counting every second.
Really?
And then when you hear the thunder, for example, if it takes 7 seconds in between
the lightning and the thunder.
It means it took 7,000 miles for the thunder to travel from wherever it originated to the ground.
Oh, so
I don't know if that's scientifically accurate, but that's what it says.
So if
in the
we
book.
Are gonna use that with our first encounter with that really large lightning, wherein the flash of light came and the thunder was really close. It's like almost at the same time. So we can say it's like less than 1,000 miles away.
Yeah, it must be super near. Maybe that's why it's
really that loud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because maybe the end, like
it didn't hit us though, did it?
No.
Okay.
Maybe because the power, maybe the potential energy of the thing. It's still high because it's close to the ground.
Okay,
whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are not actual scientists.
We're just teenagers.
We are just trying to figure out how things work. Okay.
Anyway, what were you talking about? Demand for Korean desserts?
Yeah, like I was saying before, we were interrupted by the thunder. I have noticed that there was an increased demand for Korean desserts.
Like the Korean ice cream, the
fish thingy, and those watermelon flavored popsicle sticks, and many others. I'm not sure if it's because we're having more Koreans here, and they're bringing their stuff here, or is it because we do like their desserts? Have you ever tried any of those, Korean desserts?
I go to the Korean store to buy ice cream almost every other day.
I see.
And I try out the different flavors.
So you're a Korean fan?
No, just the
ice cream. Yeah, no, Korean fan of ice cream fan. Korean ice cream fan.
I actually like the, I like, if you know, the most popular Korean ice cream. There's two of them. The Melona bar.
Yes, I know.
The green melon bar.
Yes.
Or the fish.
The fish one.
The fish-shaped ice cream. I like them better than Magnum. What about you?
I must say, me too. I've tried the fish one, the fish ice cream. And, you know, the idea of having ice cream and bread together. Have you ever tried that before? You know, even
it's a very Pinoy thing.
Yeah, it's a really Pinoy. I mean, I can still remember my childhood I used to go to the bread store to get pandesal.
Yeah.
Then buy like a gallon of ice cream and just dip it in. You know, it's really so you know, the fish ice cream really really captured my
attention.
Not just attention, it captured my tastes really.
Your taste buds.
For you know, those kinds of ice creams, you know, ice cream and bread. Who doesn't like that? So yes, I did like it more than the Magnum. So, and of course, it wasn't just only me. I mean, I'd buy the. There was a time I was buying it every day.
Every day,
yeah.
The fish ice cream.
Yeah, because I was
kind of expensive.
It was. It is. But to me, it was worth it. Like 40 pesos. So, damn. Yeah, I really like it a lot. And it wasn't just me who was only buying usually. I go into that Korean store and there's like a lot of other people just buying.
Were they Koreans?
No, they weren't. So it feels like we're like, you know, getting your food supplies or something.
so you like the fish ice cream more than
the Melona bar.
and the Melona bar.
Although
the Melona bar is my favorite.
Although a friend of mine likes the Melona bar more than the fish icon. In fact, he has tried every flavor of that kind of bar.
Yeah, there's the original, the green melon.
The green one, then there's like the...
There's mango, banana. The banana flavor tastes weird.
Really?
It tastes like fake banana, like plastic banana.
Oh.
So if you're gonna try any of the Melona flavors, either get the strawberry one or the green melon one.
The original one.
Yeah, the original.
So
aren't there different fish flavors, or is just
there are different? Wait,
have you tried the other?
Yes, I've tried the vanilla. There was also like dark chocolate. Although they were in Korean, I just asked the sales lady what flavor it was. I'm not sure if she actually can read Korean, but you know, she knows the flavors. So that's the what I've seen so far. There are two flavors, like the dark chocolate and the vanilla. I haven't seen any other flavors though, at least from the store, the Korean store I've been buying from. So yep, we got Korean dishes. Also, there is also an increased demand in Japanese dish.
Like what?
Like, you know, katsu.
Oh, right now there's like a katsu craze.
Yeah, there's a in SM.
In SM, there's a chicken crazy katsu branch here in Aguirre.
Yeah, so like there has been an increased number of Japanese restaurants. And the fun thing about that, most of them are
good.
Yes, good. And you're not just, you know, not just the food, it's also the price. It's affordable.
Well, how much are the katsu dishes in
the here? I'll start with the most expensive one.
Okay.
The most expensive Japanese restaurant that I've eaten was in Yobu.
You mean Yabu?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Yabu.
That's like the high-end katsu place.
Yes, it's really high-end. And although, you know, the prices there ranges from, like, the cheapest I've seen is like 500.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But no, here's the thing. It they will serve you with unlimited rice and unlimited vegetables.
I like the unlimited vegetables thing.
Yeah,
the green cabbage.
Yes, the green cabbage, and they have this
an unlimited meat.
No, not really. But and, you know, but the meat, the katsu there in Yabu, is.
I heard that it was made out of cat meat.
No, not cat meat. It's nice. It's worth it, actually. I mean, it's big chunk of meat.
So is that the best katsu you've tasted?
That was the best, cause even the katsu sauce,
yeah,
is made in front of you.
Really?
Yeah, it's not one of those, you know those industrial
in the bottle.
Yeah, in the bottle.
They just get
yes,
from,
no. It's like
so. Those are homemade.
Homemade, like, you know, they'll see you grinding nuts.
Nuts?
Yeah, the katsu sauce is made of nuts.
Peanuts?
I'm not
almonds.
Sure. It's like really small seeds.
Oh.
Then you like, they have this mortar and pestle. They like, you know, grind it. Then when it's like sandish type of consistency, they'll put this type of sauce on it. Then there you have. There you have it. Katsu sauce. And, you know, and the service.
It's free.
So, no, not really free. It's good service. They do really good service. So then, I consumed.
How many bowls of rice were you able to eat?
Oh, one good thing about it. So I did tell you it was unlimited rice, right?
Yeah.
And guess what?
What?
It's unlimited Japanese rice.
Oh, so it's not just plain rice.
No.
So it's like sushi rice.
Yes. It's unlimited Japanese rice, which is pricey here, right? So imagine that. It's like for 500 pesos, you get, you know, unlimited Japanese rice, limited vegetables, really good katsu, and good service. So
how about the drinks?
The drinks are, you know, the usuals. Like, yeah, I think the unlimited iced tea was about 80 pesos or 70. I can't remember. But they do also serve liquor. They serve alcohol there, like Japanese alcohol, like sake. They have that. I didn't try because my parents were there, although I wanted to. So, yes, that is the most expensive one. And the most cheapest one is, I'm sure you guys already know this, is Karate Kid.
Oh, Karate Kid. One with the sumo meals?
Yes, it is the cheapest I've seen. Because they also have this unlimited rice offer. And it's 400 pesos.
400.
100.
Oh,
100. 100 pesos.
Oh, that's... It's yeah, cheap. That's really cheap.
That's really cheap. And the servings, you know, the servings are big. Then they also have gyoza there. You like gyoza?
Yeah. Gyoza's one of my favorite Japanese dishes.
Yeah, what I usually
do. Yeah, I think your phone's ringing.
What? Oh, it's a friend of mine. Excuse me. Hello. Hello. Wait. Wala si Candy. Hello. Okay, so as I was saying, yes, that is the cheapest Japanese restaurant I've ever been, and it is always jam-packed with people. Like,
where's Yabu, by the way?
Yabu is in SM South Mall by the food street. I think they call it food street.
SM South Mall.
Yeah,
there's Yabu in SM
yes,
South Mall.
Yes, there is.
Since when?
Since last month.
So it just opened because me and my dad always wanted to try Yabu, but before it was just in Moa.
Yes, I know, and there is one in SM South Mall. And not only that, they got two or three other Japanese restaurants there, aside from Sambokojin. You do know Sambokojin, right?
I know Sambokojin. There's one in ATC.
Yes, there's also one there. So, okay. A little info about Sambokojin. Sambokojin is a mix of Korean and Japanese food. So, and what I've heard is that they kind of like cook it
in front of you,
and for a price of their prices varies from weekdays to weekends. What I do know is like weekdays are more cheaper than weekends. So, there. Aside from the Korean and Japanese food trends. Right now, do you know any other, for example, local foods that are in trend right now?
Oh, the juices, juice shops, like Jamba Juice.
Ah, yes, those Buko Juice, Buko Shakes.
Yeah.
Coconut shakes,
coconut. But water bottles.
Yes.
Stalls.
I have also seen. I have seen an increased number of coconut shops. Like there are like a few in SM, and there's also a few more in ATC. Like they sell coconut water, or you know like
coconut shakes
and stuff. Well, have you tried any of those?
Yeah, I'm a fan of coconut, anything coconut. Buko juice.
Gata,
not so much.
But like
I'm more into the juice part. The water.
The silvery.
Because it tastes weird. I mean, it's weird, but it's delicious.
Yeah, like.
It tastes like, like Sprite or something.
Sprite? It's not even
like a refreshing
non-carbonated Sprite.
Oh, yes, yes. Now that I can imagine that. So,
but,
what?
Yeah, have you tried any of the juice shops like Jamba Juice?
Yeah, I've tried it, yes.
And I think there's one other juice shop. But right now, Jamba Juice is the main, like,
yeah,
Starbucks
most,
thing.
No, and the most known juice shop here. And
where did you go to? Which Jamba Juice did you go to? ATC?
ATC.
Do you remember what you ordered?
I can't remember. It was... I think it was a few years back.
Okay, let's talk about their prices. Do you think... the juices are worth, you know, I think they're around 130-140.
If you are looking for those kinds of prepared juices, I'd say 130 is a bit pricey, because what we do now is that, you know, every morning there's this coconut vendor that passes through our place. We just, you know, yeah, and it ranges for like, what, 20 pesos to, it really depends on the size of the coconut. What we do is like, we buy like, worth 130 of them, for example, 130 pesos of them. And that is equivalent to about, what, 2.5 liters of coconut juice in comparison to the, how large was the 130? 500 ml?
250? Yeah, around 500 ml.
About 500 ml. And we got like, what, 2.5 liters of it. So, plus we got the aside from the juice, we also have the meat of the coconut, you know, the white stuff. So, if you really want coconut juice, like me, I'm really big fan of coconut juice. And I really want like a lot of them. That's what we do. We buy from the you know, the coconut itself. We just like, you know, get the juice inside, put it in a really large water container, and we drink it the whole day. And we do that every day. So there was this one time, like I was not drinking water. My water was coconut juice. I mean, I forgot that there was water at the house. It was the ref was just filled with coconut juice and pulp. And you just, you know, just drank on it the whole day. So back to your question, is it a bit pricey? I'd say yes, since you can get coconut juice in a much more cheaper.
No, what about the other fruits? Because in Jamba Juice, they don't really sell coconut.
No, I do remember they had coconut there before.
Or maybe now they don't anymore.
Maybe they don't. Well, again, the fruits are pricey. It is really pricey. And if you really want to...
Just make your own.
Yes, just make your own. I have this friend who bought a juicer. And
just to make his own juicer.
Yes. And he makes experiments with it. Like mango and banana... Or mango and apple mixed.
Banana
together.
And banana.
Banana juice. Have you tried banana juice?
No. I don't think I've tried banana.
You should try.
Why, does it taste good?
Yeah, it's like, you know, drinking bananas.
Okay, so that was our talk on current food trends.
Yes.
Now we're gonna move on to the self-help with Sloan segment, and today we're gonna talk about mastery.
Self-help with Sloan. I mean, you should have something.
Yeah. Okay. That sounded great, actually. So we're gonna talk about mastering things. How to master things.
Master what?
Skills.
Like,
or, you know, talents.
Okay.
Like, for example, okay, so you know those really good musicians on YouTube?
Yes. Like the, yes.
Those who have millions of views on their videos.
I have one favorite in particular. He's Russian. His name is Igor Palankov. Really, he's old, but how he plays the guitar, unbelievable. I mean, I wish I was Russian.
Why?
Yeah, I mean,
just you wish you were him.
I wish I was Russian.
Russian.
No, because what I do know is that, like, you know, there are a lot of really, really good Russian musicians. It's just that the only you don't really tend to appreciate their work is because, well, you're not into that kind of music. But if you listen to the technical stuff on how they do their music, really, really nice, really, really talented.
And yeah, and almost all, if not all of the interviews that I've seen or read on really good musicians, like, a lot of people just comment on YouTube, or, you know, when I talk to friends or whatever, they usually say, oh, he's just naturally good.
Yes,
he's like
yes.
that because he was born that way.
Yes.
And whatever. But when you actually listen or watch these interviews with these people, and when the interviewer asks them how much practice do you usually do, or how many, what is their practice regimen, most of them answer like around, well, the average would be 5 hours a day.
Yeah, that's like working in an office.
Yeah, like, especially, for example, I forgot his name, Stu Ham. He's a really good bassist. He said that there was a point in time where he practiced 10 hours a day.
That's a lot.
10 hours a day. And he was already good at that time. So imagine, I mean, usually when you get to a certain level of whatever skill you're, you know, trying to learn.
Yes.
At some point, you're going to get satisfied. You're going to be like, oh, I don't have to practice anymore.
I never had that.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you? I mean, you're gonna get lazy. Like, I don't need to improve it in this area anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't practiced in years. Wait.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, while Sloan is getting a phone, just a recap, he is talking about how to master all stuff, all kinds of stuff, like mastery in everything that you do. And for the weather report, the rain has a bit simmered down, and hopefully we will finish this podcast without any casualties.
Yes, and without any accidental file deletions. Anyway, so my point is, when you see someone that's really good at what they're doing, maybe a public speaker or a comedian
or
an artist or a dancer, it's usually, well, maybe there are exceptions of some of them not practicing at all. Maybe they're just that talented. But most of the time, I'm sure they've spent, you know, hundreds or maybe thousands of hours owning their craft. So when you, for example, if you want to be good at something.
For example, at debating.
At debating.
Yes.
Or at basketball.
Could be. Yes, we can go with basketball.
You have to be ready to, you know, really invest
time and
effort, energy,
sweat.
If you want to go, you know, somewhere with what you're doing, you know,
baby steps.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, just take action, and
as long as you are enjoying what you are doing, I am pretty sure that you can master it. So
yeah, but yeah, and the thing here is practice. I mean, for example, you love to do, you know, for example, you love to draw.
Okay.
But practicing usually is boring.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even, you know, boring and tiring.
Okay.
But that's the part that you have
to go,
you know,
through.
Yeah, you have to go through that, even though it doesn't feel good.
Yes, yes. That happened to me when I was first trying to learn how to play the guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, you were and I were like bandmates before, right?
Yeah.
So,
with our lawyer friends.
Yeah, with our lawyer friends. So you do remember that that, you know, that part, those times when you would tell me like, you know, come on, do a lead, and I'd say like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I remember
that.
Those
yeah.
times.
So the reason behind that was that because I was at a slump, you know, that you know, what Sloan said about, you know, it's hard, it's tiring, and it gets really
boring. It,
yeah. In my case, that was happened to me back then. I mean, I'll try to make a lead, but you know, it was just so hard for me to actually think about, you know, what lead to do. All those scales, you know, that
yeah.
you should memorize.
Yeah.
You should memorize the scales. It was just too much for me that you know, it came to the point that I was like, nah, I'm happy we're doing the rhythm. You know, remember me like, you know,
yeah, I remember you saying that.
Me saying that. Then it suddenly came to me like, you know, like, well, why you do want to improve, right? So if you do want to improve, you should at least give some time and effort into, you know, doing it. So I got some of your books, remember? Your scale books, you know, books on, you know, certain scales.
Were those mine?
Yes.
I think those were our friends.
Really? Our lawyer friends?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think I had any.
You had.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, those thin books.
Yes, those thin
okay.
books.
Then I
started practicing for about at least, you know, 2 hours a day. Then all of a sudden.
You can play lead.
Yeah, I can play lead already. And, you know, and the best part about, you know, doing, you know, mastering whatever it is you do is that, you know, that sense of achievement that you
yeah,
actually...
Yeah, that sense of accomplishment.
Yes, the sense of accomplishment that you actually have done something and you finally figured out how it actually works, you know, and you can say for yourself that, hey, I'm actually good at this. I'm not saying that I am the best, you know, best
no, it's like,
person to
you know, the sense of, it's like going through, you know, like defeating a challenge or
yes,
something.
Yes, exactly. It's like
that's the feeling
going
you get.
Over that wall that you can't climb, then all of a sudden you're already at the other side.
Which is hell.
Which is, no, which is, which is an even higher wall. You know, the best thing about, you know, mastering something is that you can never actually find the end of it. You will always,
there's always room for improvement.
You will always see something that, you know, there's another, you know, after this challenge you'll see another one and then another one. It's like what they always say, that learning takes a lifetime.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the good thing about it is that we've said before, is that sense of accomplishment, and possibly other people acknowledging your accomplishment.
Yeah.
See, and that is also a nice feeling, like when people,
especially
say,
if you're an artist.
Yes, exactly.
Either with music or
mm-hmm.
drawing,
and you see, say other people say, like, hey, you did a good job. That was magnificent. That was really nice. And you're feeling like, you know, all those praises coming to you. That's a really, really good feeling. I mean, being something, you know, to be acknowledged on something that you have worked so hard for. You know, it makes it more all worth it. Well, what? There's another thunder? Are you counting?
No.
Okay, there's a thunder right now. Okay.
Yeah, so just look at it like when you're working out. Because when you're working out, it's not supposed to feel good.
Well, working
it
at
hurts
the gym?
And it's, yeah, or just doing push-ups or whatever, or sit-ups.
Oh, I also have that kind of experience before. The hard part about, you know, going to the gym is that you should always, first and foremost, you should always get over that mindset of yours that you are being lazy. You know, I have been with a lot of people who goes to the gym, and all of them says that, you know, the hard part of going working out in a gym is always the first few days. But after a few weeks, this is especially true for me, you get addicted to it, really. It's like you just want to work out every day, all the time. And then you'll be seeing results after a month. Then again, that sense of achievement, you know, you lost weight or...
And it doesn't feel good.
At first, it doesn't. It's like you feel really miserable. It's like you were being tortured for no reason.
Yeah, but when you know, like, that you're doing this or whatever it is for a purpose.
Yes.
Like, you know that you're going to achieve something if you just stick to it, regardless of how bad it feels.
For the girl you want.
No.
No.
For the, I mean,
this is what I've noticed. Okay, usually when, especially when I was still working out, is that most of the guys that were with me, well, when I asked them, hey, why are you working out? It's either because I have this girl that I really like and I want her to like me, or I just broke up with my girlfriend and I feel really angry. Another scientific fact about working out. Did you know that every time you work out, you excrete
endorphins?
And do you know what endorphins are?
Like the feel-good hormones.
Exactly. So there's this study that says that it is advisable for really sad people
to work out. So it's like anti-depression.
It's anti-depression and anti-stress. It is most it is recommended for people who have a stressful life, or those who are, you know, undergoing sad
operations.
No, not operations. They'll die. Undergoing sad times or depressed times. So, I am promoting. Please do work out. It's good for your health.
And if usually the people who endure, you know, the painful part,
mm-hmm,
of achieving something or, you know, mastering or learning a skill.
Yes.
You know, they're the ones who, I mean, if you don't have any direction in life, or if you don't know where you want to go in life,
uh-huh,
you don't have to follow this advice.
Okay.
This advice isn't for you. You're not, I mean, this is for only for people who are willing to work hard,
uh-huh,
and to invest in their lives. Because, you know, all these things, working out, learning how to, even learning how to drive, learning how to ride a bike, mm-hmm, learning how to swim, how to cook.
Uh-huh.
You're doing all these things for yourself, to better yourself. So it's a lot more easier for people who have a direction in life and, you know what they want, to stick to the, you know, to their practice routines,
mm-hmm,
to exercising.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really don't find it in your heart to work on something, or like if you're not willing to make any effort
to go the extra mile,
then that just means there's something wrong.
No,
I mean,
it
means you don't have you probably don't have an, I don't know, you don't have.
It probably means that it, whatever you're doing isn't really for you.
Yeah, you're not doing anything.
No, I mean, cause,
what do you mean,
well,
it's not for you?
You know, you cannot master something that you don't enjoy.
Yeah.
True? So, yeah. Yeah, what I'm saying is that if you are not willing to, you know, do the extra effort on it, maybe it's because you're not really interested on it. So, I would suggest that you should find something that you are interested to do and work on it.
Well, that makes sense. But...
yeah, because...
What about people who don't have...
what?
Like...
don't have, what, talents?
Yeah.
That's impossible.
No, I mean, they have talents, but they don't work on them. That's what I'm talking about. People who have potential but aren't willing, you know, to put in the hours of practicing.
Like I said, not just because you are talented on something doesn't mean you really enjoy it. I mean, I have heard about a lot of stories, like saying, like this is a classic one. For example, there was this guy that I knew. He was really good at
flirting.
No, not flirting. He was good at sculptures.
Sculptures.
Yeah, you know, like
Mickey Mouse.
No, like making statues and stuff.
Okay.
Like stoneworking. Yeah. Well, the reason why he was good at it is because his dad is also, you know, works on sculptures. So they're like, both of them are artists. So technically we can say that, you know, he must have gotten the genes from the dad. But the thing is, the guy wasn't really into sculpture. He wanted something else.
Mm.
In fact, what he wanted, what he was into, was photography. Are you getting my point? So, again, back to your question, like, not for me, in my own opinion, is that not just because you're talented at something doesn't mean you actually like it. Well, what is important for me is that as long as you enjoy what you're doing, then the mastery of it is natural. It comes naturally since you do like it. So what I'm saying is that if let's just say someone's telling you, hey, you're good at this, good at that, and you are, you know, you don't really like doing it, you want to do something else, then you are at freedom to do what you please, because it is you. I mean, it's your choice. So, again, we got another caller. Who is it?
Stop speaking.
Yeah, I did. I kind of fell asleep. I'm sorry. So, yeah, the weather is really good. I'm feeling really woozy right now. I feel like I'm under the influence of drinking.
Anyway, I just want to say a final thing before we end this segment. Yeah, so basically, if you look up to someone and you want to be that, you know, like that person. Hello?
Who was Alan?
Anyway.
Okay.
For example, if you want to be... if you look up to... let's say Christina Aguilera.
She's old.
No, I mean... she's still a good singer. So if you look up to her and you want to be like her...
then do the thing she does?
Yeah. Just be prepared. It's gonna be painful. It's gonna be boring. But
in the end.
In the end, you get what you want.
Which is
to be a good singer. that's the message that I wanna, you know, that I wanna send. You know, the really good things in life.
Yes.
Some of them you have to go through, you know, really tough circumstances to get. Yeah, so that was Self-Help with Sloan. And before before we end this episode, I'd like to tell you the dancer size
announcement
and Scrabble Club schedule.
Okay.
Do you wanna say the dancer size schedule?
Okay. The dancer size schedule is from 5 to 7 PM on the second floor on Mondays. And it is Retro Aero. And by what's this G-Boy?
The instructor.
Oh, okay. And the instructor is G-Boy. And on Wednesdays, same time?
Yeah, yes? same time.
Okay, and on Wednesdays it's hip hop with Eric. And on Fridays, still the same time, is Zumba with, again, Eric, a Zumba certified instructor.
And for the Scrabble Club schedule, we have them on Saturdays, 3 to 6 p.m. at Cafe France.
Mm-hmm.
Just look for, I don't know who exactly, but it's going to be a table with people playing Scrabble.
Yes, it's hard to miss.
Feel free to join in. We have more announcements for this July. I'm just loading up the website.
Go on. Can I sing?
Okay, so while I'm looking for the events, be sure to check us out on Facebook at, yeah, just search for Pergola Mall on Facebook and like our page, so that you'll get, you know, updates, announcements. And if you want to contact us via email, just go to our website, pergolamall.com, and go to the contact us link. You can also find us on Twitter at the Pergola Mall. And for this podcast, you can send in questions that we'll be reading on the show via pergcast@gmail.com. Just send, you know,
any questions.
If you want to include your full name, if you want to be anonymous,
that's okay.
Just state it in your email. We encourage our listeners to send questions, so we have, you know, so we can have some interactivity going on.
Okay.
And you can also follow us on Twitter at Pergcast.
Mm-hmm.
And for the episodes, just go to pergolamall.com and then click on the podcast link.
Okay.
You can download it either directly on the website, or you can subscribe to us using your iOS device. Just install a podcast app and then search for Pergcast. Okay, so here are the July events. Malone, you wanna read?
Okay, them? Where is it?
The first one is July 27, not 13.
Okay, on July what? 27?
Yeah.
What, this one?
Yeah, the first one.
This is
that's not 13 anymore.
Oh, okay.
That's July 27.
Okay, on the 27th of July, there is Bang the Bus by Music Colony. That's 5 PM at the Clara Square. And the next one, this is the same, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is on the 18th to the 21st. It's the Primer Super Sale. I can't read it. On sale items from DC shoes, flip flops, kickers, Bauhaus, Ledgers. What is this? Alukai? What is that? Columbia, Quicksilver, and Roxy. And it's at the second floor at Ida's Hall. And on the 20th, we got Tunog Timog Project, Rocks the Pergola Mall. And that's also at 5 p.m. at Clara Square.
And finally, I'd like to let the Pergas listeners know of the new stores in Pergola. There are three newly opened stores. One is, wait, I'll just check.
I think it's here.
No, one of those are closed.
Really?
So the new stores are Red Carpet Shoes right beside Vitamin World. Panda Sticks in the center of Pergola. T-Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Tops.
Mm-hmm.
Tops is a clothing store on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
Churro City. They obviously sell churros.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if Boneless Lechon is still in the...
What?
Still a tenant of Pergola.
I'd like to try that though.
Boneless Lechon. So yeah, there are six new stores in Pergola. And I hope you guys check them out. If ever you pass by, visit them all. So Malone, do you have any last words?
Love and peace.
Love and peace.
Love and peace for everyone. Good night.